Talk a little bit about resting in the Lord. And sometimes, I don't know if you're like me and you want to get your hands on stuff. Everybody do that. You see things not moving the way that you'd like them to go. All of a sudden, you're running things, things are smooth, and then all of a sudden, man, it just starts to crumble right in front of you. And you go, how do I fix this? Maybe it's a ministry that you're involved in. Maybe it's a job at work or a project that you have. And all of a sudden, you look at that, and it's not going the way you want. You might push it, might push it, might push it. And maybe the Lord might be speaking to you. Take your hands off that. Rest in me. Watch what I do. I'm running your life, aren't I? Didn't you turn it over to me? And we think to ourselves, are you really running? Do you really care about those little intricate things in my life, Lord? Yes, he does. He cares about what you care about. Absolutely. He wants to come in, and we're going to look at that tonight, that he wants to come in and invade some of those situations. When you think it's over, when you are looking for the ace in the hole, you know what that is? That means, you know what, I'm running out of options here, and I've got something in my back pocket that I can pull out and maybe have that again. God says, man, give it up to me. Watch what I do. So we're going to look at 5 points tonight, and we're going to talk about trust. How that there are times that we can't see the whole picture, my friends. Matter of fact, we're kind of sitting there looking at it and going, this does not make any sense. And I can't figure out anything regarding this. But God says, man, I want you to trust in me because that is how your faith is going to grow. It's going to grow. So let's take a look at John's Gospel. John chapter 21. Jesus has been crucified. All those disciples that had followed him, you remember the story that night, they all scattered. Peter said, all these guys, they're going to deny you, but you know what? I'll never deny you. I'll die with you. And yet, he did too. He did too. And a lot of other people have denied the Lord. But I'll tell you something. He got back up. He said, tell the disciples and tell Peter, I'm going before them. I'm going to be going to Galilee. Hey, tell them, you know what? I'll be waiting for them up there. So here they are. I don't really know all the sequence of it, but Peter and some disciples are up in Galilee. Let's pick up in the story here. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias is Galilee there. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples, they were together. And Simon Peter was with them, and he said, I am going fishing. And they said to him, well, we're going to go with you also. You know, Peter is back with the boys. He's back in his own neighborhood again. Peter was called 3 years earlier to give up his business and follow Jesus. Jesus said to him, you are not going to catch fish anymore, but you're going to catch men. You're going to be a fisher of men. I'm going to do something different in your life, Peter, that you could have ever imagined before. You're going to speak before thousands of people. Now, he didn't really know that yet. But he is going to speak before thousands of people and see hearts changed. And it was going to be something that the Spirit of God was going to do through his life. Peter would never be the same again. He was moving with the Lord. He was going to reign with him in his kingdom. Jesus was healing people. Thousands of people were being fed from just a few fish. I mean, things were just absolutely happening that were astounding. And now Peter had probably lost everything. And he thought to himself, well, that sure didn't work. That didn't work. You ever think that sometimes when you're walking with the Lord? That's not working for me. Now, it might work for all these other people. It's not working for me. Those words, man, I find myself falling on my face sometimes. Doesn't work right for me. The Lord would say, you know what? It will. Keep coming. Keep waiting. Keep resting in me. Keep trusting in me. I'm going to bring those things to happen within your life. So Peter's back in the old neighborhood. He's going to fall back on his own plan again. I'm going fishing. You see, Peter knew how to fish more than anything else, and so those other guys. We'll go with you. We'll go with you. Now, I don't know if he was thinking, well, I got to believe he was tired of waiting. He was tired of waiting. He was sitting up there for a while. Nothing's happening. You ever had that happen to you? I've got to do something. I'm tired of waiting. And the Lord says, don't. You know, when you come and become a Christian, you are now a child of God. And you live in his family, and God wants to make some permanent changes in your life. Some of the things you loved before and did before, you don't have an appetite for them anymore. And when you do, man, you feel grieved by the Holy Spirit of God. That's something he does in our lives. You might not understand everything that happens, but those are times that you begin to trust God and have faith, and by faith, that he's going to run my life. He's running my life. I work with a lot of young men. And most of them that I work with are just coming into combat training. And 6 months ago, they had an entirely different life. They would stay home. They could stay in front of the TV and play those little video games. They could get up and go to the icebox, and they could get anything out they wanted. Cookies and chips and anything they wanted. They could do whatever they want anytime they wanted. And now something had changed. You know, many of them went back to their old school right out of boot camp. Man, they had those dress blues on. You know, the Marines wear those white hats and gloves on. And they walked into their high school. They'd only been gone probably 3 or 4 months. Most of them graduated last June. They walked in and everybody goes, dude, you look good. You know, people with high and tight haircut, you know, Semper Fi. And there they are. And they have been changed. They have been changed. You know, God changes us, my friend. And people see you that maybe knew you in high school. You ever had that happen? Somebody saw you, man, you're different. I see something different about you. Maybe not at first, but after a while, they begin to see that you're different. You ever have people do that to you? Man, you're different. I don't hear that out of your mouth anymore. I don't hear you getting angry quite like you did before. I see you praying over things. You know, I see the difference in your life. We had a high school football coach. I went to Lakewood High School. It was kind of the high school football place that it was the Mecca back then, and Lakewood would just win everything. And they had a legend there, and his name was Coach John Ford. John Ford, they named the stadium after him. Everybody wanted to play for this guy. They'd come and transfer and go all over to play for this particular coach. And I remember him and I became good friends later on in life. He lived pretty close to me, and we'd get together and do stuff. Anyway, he finally passed away, and they asked me if I would do the service. And all the jocks and all the guys that I knew from high school, this place had thousands of people that came to his funeral. And here I am. I never played for him. I was skinny. I weighed about 120 pounds. I don't know, soaking wet. I didn't play for him, but we were good friends. And God gave me a good word for that service. And after I was done, people were coming up, and they go, you weren't like that in high school. You didn't talk that way. You're different. You're different. God changes us, my friends. He changes us as we begin to say, you know what? You're running my life. I trust in you. Well, here's Peter. He's back out on the boat doing the old things, and he probably feels pretty comfortable there. You know, he's in his neighborhood, and for some reason, he wants to go back to that old kind of lifestyle. Jesus told him to head up to Galilee, wait there for me. I'll see you when I get there. And Peter's going, what am I supposed to do next? You ever think about that? What am I supposed to do next? What's on the agenda for me? God, what do you have in my life? What's next? You know, before he died, Jesus says, I'm going to go before you up to Galilee. Doesn't look like they hung out there too long, but now they're sitting around doing nothing, and Peter's going fishing. Well, Jesus wanted his disciples to trust him. And sometimes you need to wait on the Lord. That's all part of it, my friend. Jesus wanted his disciples. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They follow me, that he would be with them. He would lead them. He'd instruct them by his spirit. He says, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to come and reside within your very being, and I'm going to live through you. Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. Peter had had enough waiting. Look at verse 2. He said, I'm going fishing. They all said, yes, we're going with you. You know what? We like to be in control, don't we? We love to be in control. God says, let me have the control. Let me take hold of that wheel. Let me run the ship. You get in the back seat. Don't stay up there. God raises up. He brings down. He wants to trust him. He wants us to. We so often want to control everything that happens to us, every aspect of our life. I've got to control it. You ever been around somebody like that? Some of you wives are going, you know what? They like to control things. We men like to control it. We become angry and even afraid, but God is working faith. Faith and trust in our lives. Look what happened. Look what happened that night. Here they are. Peter said they're going fishing. They went out and immediately got into the boat and they caught nothing. Nothing. You know, sometimes God does that for us. Let me clear my throat here just a little bit. I'm getting gravelly. I'm going to keep my voice hopefully till the end. I know it's going. Hang on. I'm hanging on here. Here we go. I'm going to rest when I get done here too, I think. Sometimes we go back and we try to go back to what we understand. And it doesn't work anymore, friends. You ever do that? You ever try to go back to something that you know and God has called you out of that? There are times that God says, man, I've got something for you over here. We're going to look at that and how we find out what that is. And there are times we'd like to go back and do something that we did before. And yet, nothing wrong with that if the Lord keeps you there. But there are times that God opens up new things for you and me, new things that he wants us to do, maybe ministry opportunities, things that we want to enter in. I could never do that. Well, yes, you could if God enables you to do it. Yes, you could. Well, Peter's out there. He's been out there all night, and nothing's happening for him, not a thing. May look like nothing is happening, but could it be that God is working behind the scenes and he's putting things together you cannot see? Holding back, bringing in the right situation, the right job, the right place for you to be, the right people to direct your path and help you with it. It's kind of a neat thing. That's when you trust him. I talked to a Marine the other day in the barracks and he was crying. He goes, I want my life back. I go, dude, this is it. You've signed up. This is it. You're in here. You see, faith and trust is much the same thing. There are times we must go and watch God work and let go and watch him work. Even though you cannot see up ahead, he's running the show, my friends. He is absolutely in control. He knows the future. Nothing surprises him. Give him your life and let him work. He will make things happen you don't even know about. He will find places that you could not even imagine. A man was walking through the desert one night, really, day, and he's just absolutely dying of thirst. Comes up to this pump. You might have heard this story before. Comes up to this pump and sees it there and has a little note on it. He says, reach down in the sand underneath the pump and you're going to find a jar of water. He said, get the jar, bring it up. Don't drink it. Don't drink it. You got to save it. And this guy's just dying of thirst. I've got to drink it. Don't drink it. Anyway, he undoes the jar. He says, now take the jar of water and dump it in the pump. You got to prime the pump. And once you prime that pump, it's going to start working. You can have all the water you want. As a matter of fact, when you get done, fill the jar back up and put the note back on it and put it back under the sand again for the next person. So this guy does it and he goes, oh my gosh, I hope it works. I hope it works. Well, it did. It did. And all of a sudden, after a few minutes, water's just gushing out of that pump, just washing out of that pump. You know, God wants to provide for us, wants to bless us. But there are times that, you know what, we have to trust him and what do what he tells us to do. And if it's priming the pump, allow him to absolutely have his way with us. Do this. Doesn't make sense sometimes, does it? That doesn't make sense. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. Anybody seen that movie Unbroken yet? Remember the guy with the chocolate bars and he ate them all? He didn't want to wait. Instant gratification, my friend. And yet there are times that we just got to give and have a loose hand with what God brings into our life. Let him have his way. Our next point is we need to wait on the Lord. And we need to rest in him. In the Lord, we wait patiently for him, Isaiah 30. Notice verse 3. Peter and the boys are out doing what they knew so well before now, and it's not working. Because we don't see things happen right away, we like to take matters in our hands. I'm not going to just sit there and do nothing. I'm going to do something. There are times we trust God and we learn to rest. And some things we might need to just let go and let God do what he wants to do. Have you ever did something and it wasn't just, we talked about that. It just wasn't working. You kept pushing it. But once you got it, you regretted it. You know, one of the biggest things that I have with the Marines down there, they've got to have this person. They've got to get married. I've got to do this. I mean, the counseling that I spend out there is just horrific. And many of these young guys, I was sitting there, you've seen the pictures of me, and they're sitting there in the stand. A lot of our time is counseling afterwards. This young Marine the other day said, man, he'd been in the field for about 2 weeks. No phone, no nothing. Love the cookies, by the way. And he was desperate. He sat down, started crying. Very handsome young man. Says, I found this girl. I found this beautiful girl. She's perfect for me. Perfect. He goes, I couldn't find anybody more perfect. And he goes, but I've been out here. I've been not able to call anybody or nothing. And he goes, are you a man of faith? Do you trust Christ? Yes, I do. He goes, but I'm afraid I'm going to lose her. I'm going to lose her. And I just said, man, if you're going to lose her, then it's you never had her in the first place. You know, wait on the Lord. Rest in him, I told him. Let God do it. Look what Isaiah 30:18 says this. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those that wait for him. God is working when we don't even see him. You know, sometimes, I've shared this with you before, sometimes the Lord might speak to you slow. Just go slow. Take your time. Sometimes he says no. We hate that one, don't we? Sometimes he says go. Go. We like that one. Wait on the Lord. He has our best interest in heart. He absolutely does. He knows what we need, knows what we don't need. Learn to wait and rest in the Lord. You know, during World War II, you know, you folks, I hate to tell you, my whole life is wrapped up in military stuff. And so when I share an illustration with you, it is what it is, my friends. So during, before World War II, there was a very, very famous neighbor that lived just a few doors down from me growing up in the city of Lakewood. Her husband was a World War II hero. What he did before World War II is he was a machine gunner. Machine gunner is, you know what that is. Anyway, John Bassalone was very, very famous during World War II. Google him when you get home, see who he is. But John Bassalone was in the barracks all the time, and he would work on a machine gun, and he would take it apart, put it back together again. Take it apart, put it back together again. All the other guys be playing cards. They'd go out in town, party, and all this stuff. They go, John, what do you do that all the time for? No war's going on. Why do you do that? He just smiled and looked at him and says, you never know. You never know. World War II broke out. He was out of the army, discharged, and just kind of meandering around the neighborhood, not really knowing what to do. What should I do with myself? He saw that Marine sign, came around the corner and signed up. I'm a machine gunner. And they said, well, we got right the place for you. We know what you need. We know where to send you. Went to boot camp, got done. Went to a place called Guadalcanal during World War II. Very, very famous battle there. Well, John Bassalone was given a call from headquarters. The enemy's coming up against you. You've got to hold them back. You cannot let him get past this particular point to get this airstrip. It's very vital that you keep him back. He's looking at his group of guys. He says, man, there's nobody here. I don't have hardly anybody. So he sees three old broken machine guns sitting on the side of the hill, absolutely out of order. He went up there, and guess what he knew how to do very well? Took all the parts off everybody, put it back together, and said, bring them on. Gunnery Sergeant John Bassalone won the Congressional Medal of Honor for what he did. And there are times that he was at the right place at the right time because he was faithful in what was placed before him. You know, my friend, God says, man, if you're faithful in the little things, I'm going to bless you with bigger things later on. You know, there are times that God is speaking to some of you, and you kind of thought about something, things at church here, things that, man, I wouldn't mind trying that. I wouldn't mind doing that. And maybe you're going, nah, I don't know if I could do that. And God says, man, hey, step through the door. Put your pinky in the door. Watch what he does. You might discover a whole vista of something. And what the awesome part about it is, my friend, that when you're doing what God wants you to do, he will fill your heart with his Holy Spirit. You will feel full at the end of the day. And you're all burned out and going and grieved and bummed out, and you go, you're in the wrong place. You're doing the wrong thing. Yeah, you're going to get frustrated. That just comes with life. That's ministry. The devil's going to rip you off. Oh, yeah, that happens too. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Man, you're full. because you're right where God wants you to be, right where he wants you to be. And he fills you up and he makes your life good. So God wants us to rest in him. Our next part is God wants us to be under his command, under his command. That so often we want to run the show. We're doing the things. God says, man, come under my command. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. Walk with me. Watch what I do in your life. Come under my command. Had a Marine who went UA. UA means what? Anybody know? Unauthorized absence. I'd loaned him $20 one day. He said, can I borrow $20? Sure. I'll pay you back payday. Okay. Anyway, I went in the next week. I said, where's Hamlet? And he said, he went UA. I said, well, we'll see him again soon. About a month later, there's Hamlet sitting in there looking at me. I said, welcome home. I said, where you been? He said, well, I went UA. I said, where'd you go? He says, I went home to see my mom. I said, what'd you do that for? He said, well, God told me to. I said, well, what are you doing back here for? He said, well, God told me to come back. I said, God never told you to do that, brother. He said, well, I disagree with you. Yes, he did. I said, no, he didn't. Anyway, that went on. But you know what? We come under God's command. This guy, this young man, believe it or not, it's the craziest thing. I don't know how it happened, but they didn't kick him out of the Marine Corps. They sent him with the most fighting group that probably ever happened with the Marine Corps over in Afghanistan, and went through the most ferocious battle that ever was, and he made it. And I was kind of thinking to myself, because I signed off that he should go back into the fleet, and they did, and I felt bad. I thought, this kid got killed. I'm sure he did, but he didn't. God says in his word, obey those who are placed over you. Romans 13, God has placed them over us. Some of your supervisors are not the nicest people in the world. God has placed you under certain people and placed you over certain people. Learn to obey and fear the Lord, knowing that he takes care of business. He absolutely is the leveling field. Be merciful to your people. Be kind and gracious. You are a Christian. When your boss comes to you, and he might not be, I've worked for some tough bosses, and so have many of you. Many of them are just mean and nasty, and stuff's going on in their life. Learn to humble yourself. Learn to humble yourself. God will use that stuff in your life, and he'll bless you. I promise you, he really will. He knows what he's doing. He's working to put you with the right people. So get your hands off it and let him work. We learn to trust God, rest, and come under his command. Come under his command. He will bless you. Maybe not the way you think he will, but there is blessing and obedience. Look at verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you have any food? And they answered, no. And then he said, cast your net on the other side of the boat, and you will find some. The Greek seems to think, do you have any food? With the expectation of them saying no. He knew they didn't have any food. They didn't have anything. But I'll tell you something. That's the awesome part about it. That when we allow Jesus to run our life, when he is in command, full command of our life, man, he'll start showing you stuff that'll blow you away. He'll open up opportunities for you to cast your net over here. Well, that doesn't make sense. I've been out here all night. That's not going to work. Well, that's something that happened before. There are times that God just does those things, you know. He visits us. He comes and he just, you know, he does things. He is a wonderful friend, a commanding officer, shepherd over our lives. But we have to let him run the ship and remind him that he can have his way with us. Lord, you can have my life. Guide me, direct my path. You ever had those special visitations from God? Take a drink again. I'm not going to drive you crazy. I'll get done with this as soon as I can. Hang on. You ever had those visitations from God? But all of a sudden, man, I'm walking through life, and all of a sudden, he shows up, and you know it's him. You know that there's no other expectation that God shows up. A commander called me yesterday. He said, Steve, he says, I'm out of cookies. He said, I will be with a battalion of Marines tonight. Matter of fact, he's with them right now. He said, can you help me? And I'm thinking to myself, I said, what happened to the cookies I had in the sacristy? And he goes, I was with the battalion last night, and they got those. And I said, you know what? I've absolutely tapped out my church. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I've bled those people. You know, they've just given and given and given and given. I can't keep asking for that. And so I thought, you know what? Yeah, let me see what I can do. I hung up. I went over to Sam's Club yesterday, and I was sitting eating one of, I decided, well, I'll eat one of those cheap lunches over there. Have a piece of pizza. I'm sitting there eating a piece of pizza, and a friend of mine comes up and sits down. Hey, brother, how you doing? I said, fine. He had a pizza. Sit down. We'll talk. We talked for a while. He said, you know what? He goes, I just ran into some extra money. He reached in his pocket and goes, take care of those Marines for me, would you? And it wasn't just $5 either. I mean, it was a pretty good chunk of change. And there's 300 Marines that are having Famous Marines or cookies tonight. So out in the field, they're doing well. They got Oreos with it too. Anyway, God showed up. God showed up. I told that commander, I said, you know what? Funniest thing happened after you called yesterday. He said, yeah, what happened? He just goes, ah, praise God. Glory to God. He just all, glory to God. You know, and just so. Anyway, so God shows up, doesn't he? Let him have his way. Come under his command. Come under his command. Our next point is God wants to supply us. He wants us to be supplied. The Bible tells us that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. He also says in the book of Ephesians, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. So they cast their nets on the other side, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Man, here it is. God supplies. God takes care of us. That same situation, you ever heard about that kind of same situation that took place about 3 years earlier? Peter should have thought about that. It probably registered in his mind. Let me read this to you in Luke 5:4. And when Jesus had stopped speaking, Jesus said to them, launch out in the deep, let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats up so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. God knows where the fish is, my friends. Yes, he does. And he knows what we need in our life. He knows how to provide it and where to get it. He knows how and when to shut it off. Allow him to get you there. Sometimes it will take an act of faith. Sometimes it's just kind of like, you know what? I need to prime this pump. I have discovered that God, when he guides us, he supplies us. He absolutely does. One thing I also will tell you, that don't be afraid to have a loose hand with the things of God. By the way, all of it comes from God. Every bit of money that we have, he gives us the ability to work. He gives us favor with the people that we work with. It all comes from him. Have a loose hand with him, and I'll tell you something. After a while, as you're sowing those seeds in your life, as you begin to sow here and sow there, it comes up. You sow nothing, nothing comes up, my friend. Begin to sow in God's kingdom. You want to really sow? Invest in poor people. Amazing thing what will happen there. And people that are fed and stuff like that. And God does that. He speaks so much in the Bible about the poor. Good investment to do. Have pity on the poor. You're blessing the Lord. God wants us to do that. Well, look at Simon here. He says, and he dragged and went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. Let me read this to you. Where are we at? Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Verse 7, and when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. He plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in little boats, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net of fish. Then as soon as they came to land, they saw the fire coals there, and the fish were laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up, and he dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, and 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. You know, it's kind of like they didn't recognize him. You ever seen somebody that kind of had a redo? You know, they just kind of, you know, is that the same person? I mean, all of a sudden they're wearing some different clothes, got a haircut. You know, the last time they saw him, he didn't look very good. Matter of fact, he didn't look good at all. I saw a guy one day, and he got kind of a facelift, a little one, you know, just kind of over his eyes. Man, he was walking down the street, and he was walking into a church, and I said, dude, is that you? And, you know, just, you know, I think this is kind of the same kind of thing. You know, they just, man, he looked good. He didn't have the pressure on him anymore. I've got to go to the cross and you know, the great drops, all that stuff. Our Lord looked good. He looked beautiful. Those guys are going, is it the Lord? They didn't really recognize him real good. Same person. It was. Just kind of got the ultimate extreme makeover, didn't he? Amen. Amen. Well, he said, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to the land. Look at, anybody wonder if Simon Peter is just kind of like a little dude? Check this out. He, 153, the Bible says they're large fish. And he grabbed that big net, and he drug it into the land. I mean, he drug it in. I mean, he was the man. He drug that thing in there. Something he knew to do, and he probably worked out a lot doing that kind of stuff earlier. And so he dragged the fish, and full of large fish, and 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus says, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him who he was. Jesus then came and took the bread, gave to them, likewise the fish. And now it was the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he had raised from the dead. So when they had eaten bread, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you agape me more than the rest of these? Do you love me the kind of God-type love that you need to love? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you with a brotherly love. And he said, feed my lambs. And he said to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend to my sheep. Tend means nurture, means to care for my sheep. Here's Peter, a fisherman all this time. And now he says, you know what? I want you to be a pastor. I want you to tend my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs, little kids. I want you to feed my sheep. He's going to do all kinds of different stuff. Peter's going, man, I wasn't made for that kind of stuff. Well, yes, you are, Peter. And you're going to go do that. You're going to go do that. And that was Peter. And that's what he's about to do. You know what? The next part I want to talk to you, and I'm going to close with this, that there is a transition time for each one of us. Those are fun times in life. Those are exciting and scary times too. There are times that sometimes God says, I'm moving you out of a situation into something new and something fresh. And what happens many times when that begins to start happening, man, our ground just begins to start shaking, doesn't it? Man, I don't know about this. I'm kind of scared of that next move. I don't know how they're going to accept me. I don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes we get fearful because we can't see it. We don't know it. It's not familiar to us. We don't have a handle on it. And yet God says, man, I'm getting you ready for this. And that was what was happening with Peter. Peter, I don't know what he was thinking about this time. You know, I blew it. I really royally blew it by denying the Lord. I did all these terrible things, and here I am, right here, just trying to go back to my old life. I can't do that anymore. And God says, man, I'm going to do some new things with you. So he says, feed my sheep. He's got the directive. The thing that I want to share with you about transitioning with the Lord is these are times that God will use in our life to draw us close to him. These are times that God wants to be intimate with you, times that he wants to speak to your heart. I want to encourage you, get up a little bit earlier, 10, 15 minutes, begin to spend some time with the Lord. Get on your knees, sit down, whatever you want to do. Lord, speak to me out of your word. Speak to my heart. Get yourself a journal. Begin to start writing the theme down that you think that God is speaking to your heart. Get it from God's word. Let that word begin to speak to you. Listen to him. My friend, he's got a plan for you. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how, man, oh God, Steve, you don't know me. Yes, I do. You know, you don't know me. Ask my wife, you know. Anyway, God has a plan for us, my friend. A plan that he has for each one of us. He's placed you here on this earth for a reason. It's not just to sit there and, well, whatever's next. Wait on the Lord. Let him speak to you. Let him do that transitioning that he has. Getting us ready. God is always getting us ready for the next thing in our life, my friend. Sometimes they're long things. Sometimes they're short things. Always getting us ready until the day we go into eternity. I remember Chuck Smith saying when he was about 78 years old, he said, my best years are ahead. And they were. It was awesome. They were. Get ready to be transitioned in. He said to him the third time, Simon, do you love me? And of course, he said, I do. Then he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself. You walked where you wished. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. That's encouraging, isn't it? You know what? The thing he's telling him is, you're not going to control your life anymore. There's going to come a time other people are just going to kind of do that, and that's the way it is. This is what's before you, Peter. And he told Paul the very same thing. These are the things that you're going to suffer, Paul. He learned that very from the beginning. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. Can you imagine that writing in your book? Here's the disciple. I'm the one that Jesus loved. John, you know, he was confident enough to believe that the Lord did love him. Followed him, and he also had leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, he said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this guy? You know what? Don't worry about other people. I don't care if they're at work. I don't care if they're here at church. I don't care if they're the neighbor down the street. Don't worry about other people. Just love them. Be gracious to them. Pray for them. Don't worry about them. They're not your problem. They're his problem. He is the judge and the jury, not you. Keep your hands off other people. Don't throw spears. Keep your hands off of that kind of stuff. And Jesus said, if I will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? You follow me. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do is follow the Lord.